pleased to have Tony Belletti with me right now. And Tony is a professor at the Carleton School of Business and School of Engineering. Tony, thank you for joining me, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing your keynote at the Eclipse Summit Europe near the end of October. Tony, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, good morning, Ian. Delighted to be with you and the Eclipse Foundation this morning. Pretty excited about what's happening, next month in Europe with the conference. I've been 31 years in the ranks, so I started teaching 31 years ago.
Yep.
I hold a joint appointment between the business school here at Carleton University, which I was the director of for many years, and in the Department of Systems and Computer Engineering in the Faculty of Engineering here at Carleton. So I'm what you would call a mutant between the two schools. My area of specialization has been examining what happens at the front end of the innovation cycle. When new technologies arrive or new businesses are created. So I spent 31 years of my life figuring out how technology businesses create an appropriate value at the very, very early stages of the innovation cycle.
Great. So, And so I think one of the, certainly you and I have been known each other for many years, and I know you and Mike Milinkovich know each other, but I remember probably about 5 years ago, Mike and I attended a session that you were hosting about open source, and you presented something that really caught Mike and I's eye was the open source maturity curve that we use at the foundation quite extensively when we talk to people about open source adoption, and it was real kind of eye-opener for us when we saw it back at that presentation. Can you just talk a bit about the open source maturity curve?
Sure. What happened was that I guess it all started in the classroom back in 2001 when a student asked me a question, and the question was, how do you make money out of open source?
Right.
And of course, I knew what open source was and blah, blah, blah. So I tried to answer it, but I knew that I just didn't know enough to be able to figure it out. So, no, we're going back to 2001. A lot of stuff has happened since then. So I was intrigued by the question, and I called people who I have a good relationship with, and they didn't know the answer. I mean, everybody gave us the usual bromide and so forth and so on. So what I did is we set up a joint industry academia research program called Competing in Open Environments. And at the time, I was totally convinced that open source was more than just licenses and software, and whether software that was open source was better than commercial open source. I viewed it as a change in the economic environment. It enabled us to do things that we cannot do before. So what we did is we studied it and talked to a whole bunch of people who interacted with open source projects, and we found out that they interacted for different reasons, and we created the model as a response for people to understand how a company or an individual interacts with an open source project, and what we're trying to do was capture the motivations as well as the main activities that you would undertake. So we ended up with a model that basically says that the value that you appropriate from your interactions with an open source project increases depending on the maturity of your interactions with that infrastructure.
Right.
So we ended up with five categories. The first three kind of deal with motivations that are mainly engineering driven. So what happens is that the company either downloads the software and uses it or makes a contribution because they can fill a gap that they have in the product portfolio, or they champion a particular project that they want to be able to undertake. And those three types of interactions require you to do different things. The company commits different things. The people from the company who are involved in the interaction with the open source project are at different positions within the hierarchy of the company. And then there's a break. There's a big gap. And that's when we start interacting with open source projects for the purpose of creating value with other companies. Well, that's what we call the collaboration phase.
Right.
And what you're trying to do is now use open source not as a way to fill features that don't exist or develop software. What you're really doing is you're creating as a very powerful infrastructure to be able to collaborate with other firms. And that's a huge, you know, value point. That's when really, when you start doing that, that's when things really start happening for you. And then there was one more that we found in which companies use the open source project to be able to redefine the rules of the game in the competitive arena. And few companies are able to do that, obviously. But what you do is you shape your environment based on your position that you have with the open source projects. So to summarize, basically, we saw an opportunity to add value by ensuring that people understood the different ways in which a company can interact with an open source project.
Yeah, I think the fascinating thing I find with the model that you're going to be presenting is that when we were out talking to companies about interacting with Eclipse, you can almost pinpoint where they are at in the stages of maturity, and it's really hard to jump a stage.
I agree, and the value that that's right. So, if for example, I was selling Eclipse or any other open source project, it is very much, you know, that value proposition very much depends on who I'm talking to. Like the people who just want to contribute would view the value proposition very differently
right.
from somebody who wants to use Eclipse to be able to collaborate and create value, right?
Right. The other area that I think you're going to be talking about at Eclipse Summit Europe is around the importance of ecosystems and how organizations can tap into ecosystems. Why is this important? Why should companies be thinking about ecosystems?
So there's companies in government. So I think that it's very important for us to make very clear that governments in across very different geographies worldwide also have a major stake of understanding the impact of business ecosystems have. So let me go through the benefits that I see for small and medium-sized businesses of ecosystems. Now, the ecosystems that I deal with are vendor-neutral ecosystems. So when I set these things up, and I've set three of these ecosystems in my life, the idea is not to provide a particular company with a positional advantage. We want to make sure that it's neutral, very much like what Eclipse has done.
Sure.
So from the small and medium-sized businesses, I see the following major benefits. Number one is it provides you with greater access to deal flows and opportunity to fulfill customer needs. When you're part of these ecosystems, it is a lot clearer where money flows and who's got what type of needs and who's looking to get things done.
Right.
If you're not part of an ecosystem, it's fussier, it's a push as opposed to a pull.
Yep.
Second is that when you're part of an ecosystem, you're part of a customer pull for rapid innovation. So all the costs, all the front-end costs associated with your project of trying to find out what the customer requirements really are and coming up with functional specs and so forth and so on are reduced dramatically because you're part of a process in which customers are really enunciating and telling you and participating and contributing to your innovation process. So they're engaged with you in terms of what the new feature should be.
Sure.
Third is that you get to share your business development, your R&D cost, and your marketing as well as sales cost. So it does reduce the cost, not just on the R&D side, but also on your business development and sales side. Fourth, it provides you with fast and very favorable access to sophisticated capabilities worldwide. So what happens is that you're interacting with people who have access to specialized assets all over the world, and that enables you to have, you know, easier access, more knowledge with regards to what those specialized assets are and how to use them to your advantage. Fifth, you avoid the lock-in by powerful companies. So you're now, for small companies, that's very, very important because you want to work for yourselves. You just don't want to work for a larger company.
Right.
Then it provides you you being smart provides them with value added.
Right.
So that's what I see as being the major benefits for small and medium-sized businesses. With regards to governments, I think that governments that are part of this business ecosystems can use them to attract and retain knowledge jobs in the geography, in the geographies for which they're responsible for. So what they're looking for, innovative companies and private investments, all those things are good things that governments are interested in.
Yeah.
And being part of ecosystems allows them to have that. Governments can attract significant resources to focus in their government priorities. Every government has a priority, and what an ecosystem allows them to do is to harness innovation worldwide to be able to address their government priorities. Ecosystems makes the economies a lot more resilient to external shocks and economic downturns. As you've seen recently, we have a huge economic downturn. And what that has done is that ecosystems that are pretty robust are a lot more resilient to those economic downturns than if you're working outside of an ecosystem framework or your ecosystem is a weak one.
Is that just due to the diversity?
It is due to a variety of things. It's due to the diversity. It's due to the specialization. It's due to the ability for us to be able to collaborate with one another in ways that have very little overhead. So we're a lot more flexible about getting things done very, very quickly that are smart using an ecosystem framework. I view the ecosystem as being a glue that harnesses creativity worldwide to be able to satisfy customers and increase more value to your customers. So it's a very powerful, type of tool.
Great. Well, Tony, I'm really looking forward to hearing your talk at Eclipse Summit Europe, and I really appreciate you spending some time to tell us about kind of some of the key concepts that you're going to be just going into more detail, and hopefully we'll see lots of people, and you get to meet lots of people at the conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you.